Baruch Hashem Adonai, he'll sing it now. Baruch Hashem Adonai,
blessed be the name of the Lord.
Baruch Hashem Adonai,
blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. We worship and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for your tangible presence again in our midst. The God who watches over his word to perform it. That inhabits the praises of Israel. Thank you. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, that I might speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver this word with precision to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed into the unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. If you're in agreement with everything I said, receive it individually by saying,
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Adonai,
blessed be
the name of the Lord.
Baruch Hashem
Adonai. Keep
playing that very quietly, not obtrusively, but let it just be there. It's such a something wonderful happened today as the joint choir and the children's church were ministering, and they ministered wonderfully. It came to my heart that they should sing the song, but I didn't know how to get it across, and I didn't want to, you know, get them jittery, so I said, Lord, just, and they sang it. Talk about spirit-to-spirit communication. I didn't tell them to do it, but that's what I believe the Holy Spirit wanted, to go into the Word. Because, you know, if you understand the significance of Easter, you will understand the prophetic present-day truth fulfillment of that word. That's what Jesus did. Blessed be he that cometh. That's what he did. He came out of the grave. Mary saw him. One of the pastors, I think it was Pastor Tonio, one of the pastors read it this morning in one of the Bible readings. And out of emotion, she wanted to embrace him. He said, don't touch me. For I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. While I was praying over the offering, and Mommy Sarah too mentioned this when she was sharing, you have to understand that Jesus has two birthdays. The first one was a natural birthday at Christmas, when he was born of the Virgin as a baby. The second one was when he was born, he was the first person to be born again. From spiritual death to spiritual life, he became the firstborn from the dead. So at Christmas, we celebrate the natural birthday. At Easter, we celebrate the spiritual birthday. And his rebirth, the injection of the life of God, re-injection, because he had it before, but he lost it all on the cross. Not because of sin, not because he sinned, but he became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so as the blood drained from his head and from his back, from his hands and from his legs and his feet that were pierced, life, 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 life was draining out of him. That's how he gave his life for us. Life. And it was, of course, the absence of life is death. In my recent Bible readings, I read the Gospels. I read the Bible every day just like you, by the grace of God. And, of course, I read from the Gospels every day. And in one of my recent Bible readings, I saw that Jesus was actually crucified 9 o'clock in the morning. He wasn't crucified at 12. He was crucified at 9. Between 9 and 12, he began to lose blood. More blood. He had lost some, but he lost more blood. Between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died spiritually. It was a process. For God to let us know what was happening, the Bible says there was darkness over the face of the land for 3 hours in the broad afternoon, from 12 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Very, very significant. Very, very, very significant. Bible scholars and commentators have opined that it was an eclipse. It was not an eclipse. I'm a physicist. No eclipse lasts 3 hours. Go and check the trajectory of the sun and the moon. Do the physics. The most that it lasts is, 10, 15, maybe 30 minutes. You do not have any natural eclipse that will last 3 hours. 3 hours. God sent a sign in the heavens that the Son of God was dying, not just physically, but spiritually. By the end of the 3 hours, every drop of Zoe that was in his spirit had been drained out. And he had gone from a state of righteousness into a state of sin. Sin is a substance. He did not commit sin. He was made sin. And at that point, his fellowship with God was totally broken. And he screamed and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's a rhetorical question, and I can tell you the answer this afternoon. I have forsaken you because you became sin for humanity so that I can save them. And his spirit, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. That's old English. His spirit left his body. That's when he died. His spirit left his body and went to hell. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He went to hell. He didn't just go to Abraham's bosom. He went to hell and suffered the torments of the damned. That's what mommy was talking about. For 3 days and nights. Friday afternoon, evening, died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, he was in hell. The whole of that night, he was in hell. 12 midnight on Saturday, he was in hell. 12 midnight through 12 noon on Saturday, he was in hell. 12 noon to 12 midnight on Sunday morning, he was in hell. 3 days, doesn't mean three 24-hour periods, 3 days in which there was light and day. Kosele preke. Sunday, 12 midnight, he was still in hell. That's another night. That's Mickey 3. Till 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, what we call the fourth watch. Sometime in there, I don't know the exact time, but between 3 a.m., what we call this Easter Sunday that we're celebrating today, and 6 a.m. in the morning, possibly about 3:34, there was catastrophe in hell. God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he was raised from the dead by the glory of God. And the same scripture says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God, the Holy Spirit, invaded hell and re-injected the life of God that he had given up freely on the cross on Friday afternoon, was re-injected back into his spirit. And he became the first human being to go from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life. And he became the firstborn amongst many brethren. And not only that, not only did life return to him, power returned to him. And he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And he took from Satan the keys of death and hell and jumped over the impossible, the so-called impossible barrier from hell to Abraham's bosom, and preached to the spirits in prison. And for as many as believed and agreed with him, he now took them as a company to heaven and led captivity captive. Give him a super clap offering. Stand to your feet. You cannot sit down. You cannot sit down. That is what Easter means. That resurrection power and life that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead about 2,000 years ago, on this Sunday morning that we are celebrating today, becomes the source of your life and the source of your power. Most Christians don't understand that. You were actually born again by the resurrection. You can sit down now. You were born again by the resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you would like to turn with me, that's not going to be my text. That just comes by the Spirit. I'm going to come back to my text in a minute. But 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 1, where it says we've been born again by the resurrection. Yes. Verse 3. Everybody scream it out loud. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. Turn to your neighbor and say, begotten us again. He's born again. Unto a living hope. By, scream it, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No resurrection, no new birth. No hope, no future, no life. The source, honey, thanks for sharing that with us. The source of your life, orisun, what the Yorubas call orisun, which is, you know, where a river, where a spring comes from. The source of your life and your power is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this afternoon, I want to share a word with us that the Holy Spirit gave me. Now I've entitled, The Power That Worketh In Us. Everybody say, the power that worketh in us. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'll quickly share a brief illustration with you. See, my physical body here has a physical heart in it that is pumping blood. Doctors know better than I, but I can just give you, you know, we've got what is known in biology and medical science and anatomy as a circulatory system. The word circulatory means something that goes round. So you've got, you know, your heart has two compartments. You know, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's pumping, it pumps blood. When it pumps blood, the blood goes through your entire body. It goes to the brain, the spinal cord, now, you know, through the blood vessels. You know, it's an intricate system. You know, you've got what you call the arteries and the veins, and then you also have the capillaries, which are small tributaries. Some of them are so tiny that carry the blood round to every member of your body. On one side is taking blood that has oxygen, because it gets oxygen from your lungs when you breathe and puts it into the blood. Once it has dropped all the oxygen, you know, around all the parts of the body, it comes back. Now, it doesn't have oxygen like it had before, and goes to the second part, a second compartment of your heart, you know, to receive fresh oxygen. And the process keeps repeating itself. Dr. Williams, am I accurate? Prof, am I accurate? Yemisi, Dr. Yemisi, am I accurate? You know, they can tell you all the ventricle and the, that's detailed. But what I've described to you is accurate. When you got born again, let's wind the tape back. The day Jesus was raised from the dead, that fateful, wonderful Easter morning, he was raised from the dead by the holy power of the Holy Spirit. Resurrection life and power was pumped, injected into his spirit. He became the firstborn from the dead. He spoiled principalities and powers like I mentioned. And that day, something began to happen that has continued until this day. And what happened? Peter and John run to the tomb. They see it is empty. They don't understand what is going on. There was talk, maybe the Roman soldiers have carried him away. You know, there was all kinds of speculation. But the Bible tells us that John, he saw the napkin that they used to cover Jesus' face folded neatly by itself. He said, John believed. A few, maybe an hour later, I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour later, they go home. Peter and John go home. Mary Magdalene stays behind, wrought in grief, weeping and crying, thinking that maybe they stole his body. Jesus appears to her. Initially, she doesn't know it is Jesus, the Lord Jesus. I think she has a side view. I preached this some weeks ago. You know, thinking he was a gardener. So she now turns around to say, look, if you've taken him somewhere, let me know and all of that, you know. And then Jesus reveals himself to her and says, Mary. Immediately she recognizes his voice and says, Rabboni. And she wants to embrace him. Jesus said, don't do that, you know, because I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. These two people, man and woman, male and female, became the first two people to be injected into the vine. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead was injected into their spirit. John became the firstborn. Well, Jesus was firstborn. So John is secondborn and Mary Magdalene is thirdborn. Give the Lord a clap offering. And you can find your number there. But what I want to share with you this afternoon that you need to understand as a Christian is that that same resurrection life and power is what entered into you when you got born again, when you became a branch of the vine. Just the same way that my hand is a part of my physical body. It does not have a blood of its own. The blood that flows in my arm, this is my right arm, is the same blood that is being pumped by my heart to all the members of my body, including this arm and all these fingers. So it is. Every born again child of God, when you get born again, you become a branch of the vine. The same resurrection life and power that raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago immediately starts flowing into your humans. It flows into your human spirit. It recreates it and is now available. It is now available for you and I to use for victory in every area of our lives. It can and should flow not only into your spirit, it should, and that's what we're going to be talking about in a minute. Also, from your spirit, you should be able to know how to release it into your mind, your will, your emotions, into your physical body, into your circumstances, so that you can reign, you can rule, you can have dominion by that resurrection life and power in every area of your life. And what God the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul, and he penned it down for us in this wonderful epistle of Ephesians. He prayed a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to mention it, hit it running. That God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that we might know the hope of our calling, what mommy was sharing, the riches of the glory of our inheritance as saints, and the exceeding greatness of the resurrection power that was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Then in chapter 3, which is where I'm going to zero in on for today, he now shows us, he gives us a road map of how to tap into and partake of that resurrection power so that it can be useful for us in our lives for healing, for deliverance, for prosperity, for perfection, for glory, for character, everything. And so he prays this prayer for the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 3. I will just run through it very quickly, but I want to zero in. As I was preparing, this scripture was illuminated into my mind. I knew it before, but I got further illumination. The power that worketh in us. To get its context, we will read from verse 16. He's praying to God for all of us, the Ephesians, and by extension, the Pauline prayers are for all Christians. Let me just quickly say something here. You know, I've heard Mommy make a comment about this, and over the years, people have also made comments about this. You know, people say, oh, you pray the same prayer over and over and over again. It's mechanical. It's not. They're structured prayers. You can't invent your own. The Ephesians 1 prayer is a structured prayer. This one I'm talking about is a structured prayer. But you have to do it with your heart. You can repeat it like a parrot. Of course, that will not be effective. But if you do it from your heart in faith, each time you pray it, there is a measure of power and life that comes to you. That's where we get life scriptures from. They're all structured prayers. I can't invent my own life scriptures. I cannot invent my own Pauline prayers. And I said this many months ago, if you don't follow Paul, you can't follow Jesus. Because Paul is an essential link to following Jesus. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. If Jesus came, died, and rose again and went to heaven, and he's there and all these things are available, but we did not have Ephesians, we didn't have Romans, we won't know. We would not know how to tap. That's why we can only follow him to the degree that we follow his apostles and disciples, whom he had penned these realities down for us to partake of. And so he prays, verse 16, that he would grant you, I didn't hear you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? That Christ may dwell in your hearts, how? That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to, I didn't hear you, comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled, I didn't hear you, with all the fullness of God. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You know, nobody knows what that thing means in practice, because no generation has ever walked in it. Paul saw it by revelation and wrote it down. They walked in a measure of it, but not in the fullness of it. We are the generation that are destined to walk in this reality. Then in verse 20, which is my punchline, he says, now unto him, I didn't hear you, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we do. What? What did we do from Ephesians 3:16 to 19? We were asking that he will grant us according to, so that we might be filled with all. Now he's telling you, he said, everything you have asked, and even the one that you are thinking, He said he's able to do above it. But it is conditional. It is according to the power that worketh in us. Let me qualify that, because I'm a scientist. I'm a physicist by training. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, he's telling you that it is the degree, the measure to which that resurrection power is working inside you that will now determine how much God can do or, you know, to perform what you ask or think. The more you do it, the more God can do. The less God can do. That sounds funny, but it's the truth. Otherwise, by now, Christians should have completely conquered the whole world. There is nobody on the face of this earth that is remotely able to stand the power that we have. Nothing. The problem has been how much of it is working in you. And that's what I want to share with you this Easter. I got some things I wrote down here. However, it is only available to the degree that we walk in love and pray in unity in the Spirit. You will see that the road map is a map of love. That Christ made the strength with might by your Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you become rooted and grounded in love. See, folks, Sister Bology, she's in our group. She sends this Kenneth Copeland thing to us every day. You know, it's such a blessing. And I think one of the ones that was sent recently was, you know, faith works by love. And he says, Kenneth Copeland said, and I heard him say this many years ago because I've been following Kenneth Copeland for the past 40-something years, you know. So he said, nothing is more important on this earth. Nothing has a higher priority than for you to learn how to walk in and perfect the love of God in your life. Absolutely nothing. It's the key to everything. Faith works by love. Watch this. Tongues works by love. As powerful as praying in tongues is, if you are not motivated by love, and you're motivated by strife and envy and blah, 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 this tongues becomes ineffective. It becomes, you know, just tinkling cymbal, just noise. Everything works by love. Everything. Love is the condition for all answered prayer. When you walk in love, then God has it. You're keeping all the law. He said, you don't have to keep 10 commandments. You have to keep 1,001 commandments. You don't need all the Mosaic laws. He said, just walk in love. He says, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you walk in love, automatically you fulfill the law. And then your prayers will be answered. This same John, who became firstborn, you know, after, second born after the Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday, he writes, he says, in 1 John chapter 3, he said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And not to leave it to your human imagination, this is his commandment. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's the condition for answered prayer. Let nobody fool you. And let nobody deceive you. That everything just happens automatically. You see, people get that wrong impression because God is merciful. And because God is merciful, many times, in fact, several times, you know, God blesses people not because they are doing the right thing. In spite of the fact that they're doing the wrong thing. Because God uses somebody else's prayers to bless them. You need to understand that. The laws don't change. But God can bless somebody who is not doing the right thing. Not because he's not doing the right thing, but because of his mercy. then he will now use the prayers of somebody who is doing the right thing to bless somebody who is doing the wrong thing. And then sadly, somebody will say, well, you know, it means that what I'm doing is okay. No, there's only one standard of what is right and what is wrong, the written word of God. If it is not in line with the written word of God, you're wrong. Having said that, how then now do we get more of this power to be at work in us? Like I said, the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures to us. These are scriptures I've known before. But I have more revelation. And I know it hasn't ended. Because revelation is progressive and it continues. You get light today, you get more lights tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So, the Lord spoke to me, you know, and he said, this power works in us, collectively, us, as we pray in unity in the Spirit, combining the powers of our prayers, both additionally and exponentially. There's a scripture that Christians like to quote. It's in Matthew chapter 18. We call it the prayer of agreement. Let's quickly go there. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 20. There's a lot in there, but you know, because of time. For where two or three, I didn't hear you, are gathered together in my name, there am I. Oh, I got to read verse 19. It says, again, I say unto you, who is talking? The Lord Jesus. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. That's a blank check, you know. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Then he tells you the reason why. For means because. Where two or three are gathered together. Now everybody scream in my name. I didn't hear you. Say it again. There am I in the midst of us. You see, we often think that, oh, this in my name just means, oh, if it's in the name of Jesus, you are born again and I'm born again. You know that. That's the legal basis. That's correct. But that's not all he's talking about. That's a foundation. It has to be in the name of Jesus. Both of us have to be born again and all of that. But it also means in his character, which is love. That's why you can now understand why many times we agree and nothing happens. Is God a liar? No. You gathered in the name of Jesus legally, but you did not gather sufficiently in his character. That's why there was not, watch this, sufficient power. I didn't say there was no power. I said, everybody scream sufficient. That's what I wanted to key into. So when he began to talk to me, he began saying, us, the Holy Spirit in my heart. I said, us. I said, I know it's us now. He said, that us is plural. And he said that you need two levels of that us. I said, Lord, explain. He said, you need a numerical number, what we call critical mass, using the illustration of an atom bomb. Pastor Lalu was talking about this when he was talking about it, fissile material. When you want to make, when they make an atom bomb, what they do is that they take a radioactive material like uranium or plutonium, you know, and then they have to bring two masses of uranium and together to form what is known as a critical mass to sustain a chain reaction that will lead to the atomic bomb explosion. If the mass, that is the amount of uranium, is less than the critical mass, the chain reaction will start, but it will not be sustained and it will fizzle out. You've got to get it to a sufficient mass in order, what is known as the critical mass. The second thing is that not only must you have enough of the, you know, of the material, the fissile material, the quality of its purity must be, that's why Iran now is trying to get a nuclear weapon, and Israel and everybody is shouting about it. They have uranium, but the uranium they have now, the percentage of its purity is less than maybe 70-80%. They're working towards it. That's why they put the thing in a centrifuge, you know, to remove the one that is, you know, it causes one part to go to the end of the test tube. So the one that is left is, you know, of higher quality. Then you do it again. 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 Until you have pure uranium that has a high grade quality. If you do not have a high grade quality, watch this, and you have a critical mass, but the quality of the uranium is not high enough, you cannot sustain a chain reaction that will lead to an explosion. So let's bring it now to the spirit. God needs a critical mass of Christians who are praying in the spirit. Not just in the understanding. This will not work in the understanding alone. Yes, you can agree in the understanding alone, but we're talking about united prayer in the spirit. Why? Because of the laws that have been revealed to us in the Old Testament. They're types and shadows. You know, Leviticus says, if, you know, five of you, let's quickly go there. Leviticus chapter 26. Thank you, Jesus. And am I talking to anybody here? If I'm blessing you, give a wave offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. And five of you shall chase 100. That means each person is chasing an average of 20. I'm just, you know. And 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. It means that each of them has a capacity to chase about 100. So when you now put, you know, 100 of them together, you know, you now get 10,000. And your enemies shall flee before you before the sword. Look at verse 32, chapter 32. One will chase 1,000 in Joshua chapter 23. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Now let's bring that understanding into the New Testament and praying in the Spirit. For years, I used to wonder how come we have so many Christians who are praying in tongues and yet we do not see a commensurate amount of power. On Wednesday, I was teaching here that you have two levels of the prophetic ministry, this end time prophetic ministry. There is the operation of what we call the spirit of Elijah. And then there's also the operation of what we call the power of Elijah. John the Baptist exemplified the spirit of Elijah. Power was in John Baptist's ministry, but the power was doing the work in the heart. You didn't see John raise the dead. You didn't see him heal the sick. You didn't see him. In fact, the Bible says John did no miracle. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about John, said that he was greater than any of the prophets of the Old Testament. He said, there is no prophet born of woman. That's an amazing statement. You mean John was greater than Moses? You mean John was greater than Elisha? Elijah? According to Jesus, he was. So what was God's criteria of measurement? The power. He had power, quite all right. His father prophesied it. Zechariah said he would come in the spirit and the power. He fulfilled one half. The spirit of Elijah was the power was concentrated in the mind, the will, the emotions of men to change their hearts so that they would be ready for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, had John followed Jesus, he would have then got the power of Elijah under the ministry of Jesus Christ when Jesus inherited the Spirit without measure. It is instructive to understand that even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, first of all, started with the Spirit of Elijah. And then when Because he was preaching the same message like John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then when he was now led by the Spirit into the wilderness, was tempted of the devil, he overcame the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, and pride of life. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. With the Spirit without measure, then his eye turning water to wine, walking on water, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. Now it's a power. So in the same way, for God to do what he wants to do in this day, God needs a critical mass. And I said this before, I believe we have the critical mass. I don't think we have a problem with the critical mass anymore. But we need purified, a higher level of purified fissile material. Hence this message. So when he says, two or three guys in my name, it's not only the legal, the name of Jesus is very important. That gives us the legal basis. But to get the power that legal basis gives us the authority to use in sufficient measure, we have to be gathered in his character. That is why Ephesians chapter 3 is being given to us to pray that God will strengthen us with might by spirit in the inner man. Notice it's a continuous prayer. That's not the end of the prayer. That he will grant you according to riches to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man. So that's the result, the consequence. Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. These people are born again Christians. He's not talking about being born again. He's talking about having the Christ nature, the Christ character to start dominating the mind, the will, and the emotions. The heart there is not talking about your spirit. He's talking about the soul. It has to be that you become rooted and grounded in love. Do you know what it means to be rooted and grounded in love? It means that no matter the provocation, you will always walk in love. That's what it means to be rooted and grounded. Look at these pillars. They are rooted into the earth. And they act as a pillar of support for our roof. When you become rooted and grounded in love, your will will always, because it has become established in love, you will always use your will to walk in love. You don't get there overnight, but it's available. And it is a major key to get this power that worketh in us, this resurrection power, to get it into operation. Number two, he says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. What does that mean? You don't understand that until you read the next phrase, that you may know what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. God gave me this understanding years ago. I think it was, I can't remember now, 2000 and something. Papa Ralph came and he preached. He preached on Ruth. I can never forget that afternoon. It was around the time of June 12. Remember, there was tear gas. We were sitting outside here. Can you remember? Very few people came to church. It's just me, my wife, and a few others. You know, they were all afraid. They stayed in their house because they didn't want, you know. But we came to church. On the way to church, there was tires were burning, everything. You know, Papa Ralph said, "Oh, Jay, you think we can go?" I said, "We can go." So when I go come to something, I'll say, "It's pastor." I said, "Ah, if it's pastor, let him go, let him go." He said, Papa Ralph said, "Oh, Jay, you're great in this city. It's not for you. I would never dare to come out." So we came here. At that time, we had the extension. We hadn't yet built this part of the auditorium at that time. We had an extension out there that God destroyed so that we can build a better church. Another story for another day. But anyway, you know, we were out there. That's how I remember it. And he was teaching on Ruth. And he taught about, you know, the tabernacle. How you go from the outer court, the door, you now come, you wash your feet, then you come in, you know, to the candlestick, which is a type of revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the shoe bread, you know, and then you now get to the altar of incense, which is the place of prayer and intercession. It is the altar of incense that takes you across the veil into the Holy of Holies. You find two accounts. In the Old Testament account, you find that they placed the Holy of Holies, they placed the altar of incense in the out in the holy place. And in our account, you find that the holy, the altar of incense is placed inside the most holy place. He says that it's going to be a transition. Because if you pray and pray sufficiently well enough with the power of God, it will break the veil of the flesh. That's what we call perfection. And then it will take you, that same altar will now take you into the holy place where you now operate in the Shekinah glory. Then Papa Ralph said something, I've never forgotten it. He said, when you now get into, you now get to the mercy seat. He said, when you sit on the mercy seat, you now turn around. You see, you've been coming like this into the tabernacle. Back, you know, with your back to the end of the tabernacle. When you now get to the mercy seat, which is God's throne. That's why, have you noticed that the throne of God is never called the throne of judgment? It's always called the throne of mercy. That's why it's called the mercy seat. It's God's throne. He said, you now sit on the throne. He said, he that overcometh will I grant to sit on my throne with him. He said, when you now sit on that throne, you now turn back and you now see the whole tabernacle. You now begin to see men the way God sees them. And then you begin to treat them the way God treats them. How? Mercifully. Mercifully. There you are able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, all the different idiosyncrasies, weaknesses, you know, errors of the body of Christ. You love them in spite of those things. So you now understand what makes a Catholic. And what makes the Methodist. And what makes the Baptist. And what makes the Evangelical. And what makes the wild-eyed Pentecostal, the wild-eyed Pentecostal. And what makes the rambunctious and presumptuous word of faith the way he is. And what makes the kingdom guy thinks he knows better than everybody else. You now begin to see them the way God sees them. And then you can relate with each person. Comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the body of Christ. So nobody offends you anymore. You understand them the way God understands them. When you are with them, you know how to behave. To the Jew, I became as a Jew. To them that are without law, as without law. You begin to act like Jesus. Do you know Jesus goes to the Catholic Church every Sunday? I said that deliberately. You know, we Pentecostals think he only comes to our church. Your church is too small for Jesus. He goes to all the churches. Even the ones that you would not want to go to. You know why? He has people everywhere. Amen. I have sheep that are not yet of this fold. He even goes to where they are not born again. You know why? He died for them. And he's looking for how to draw them closer to himself. There are those that are close. There are those that are still afar off. Those that are far off, he wants to bring them near. Those that are near, he wants to bring them nearer. It changed my perspective completely. I started relating. I can go to an evangelical church. You know, I remember many years ago, my wife and I went to our friend's wedding. You know, it was a friend, you know. It was actually Brother Fred's brother. But his wife, they were both born again. But his wife's parents were cherubim and seraphim, you know, something like that, you know. We went for the wedding in Loring. And we all took off our shoes. See, my taking off my shoes is not going to stop the anointing of God on me. I have to comprehend with all saints. I'm not saying taking off shoes is the correct thing to do. But even if they do that, if I go there with a clean heart and a right attitude, the spiritual effulgence around me will affect them positively. You will never see where darkness will drive out light. It is always light that drives out darkness. Give the Lord a clap offering. Learn to deal properly with people. I remember of a story. Pastor Kunle knows this, and Mommy, you know, of a man, you know, who was in the celestial church. And he started hearing some of the things we preach. He even came here to Ibadan when we used to have these prayer seminars. We're still in celestial church. So he invited mommy and I to his house in Lagos to preach in his celestial church. True story. Celestial. You know, there are levels. Cherubim and seraphim is one level. Celestial is another level. And I was supposed to come and preach. Prayed. God said, go. And I went. I got there. Celestial church. So I take off my shoe. Like everybody. It didn't affect the anointing. I preached. The people were blessed. You know, I gave altar call. Some God with the Holy Spirit did everything. So when we now finished, some years later, the man now comes to me, comes here to church, and says, Pastor Luby, I want to thank you for coming. He said, I've left the celestial church. I took a lot of the people, you know, and I changed the name of the church. We are now a full-fledged Pentecost. Until today, he still is. A clap offering for the Lord. Comprehend! Many of you will not go there, but Jesus goes. Why? He has people there that he died for. And he loves them. Rooted and grounded in love. Being able to comprehend with all saints. So we need to, the us needs to increase both in numeric number as well as in quality. And I'm going to be closing in a minute. It's this quality that God is very concerned about. And I want to give you some practical things that you can do to increase the quality. See, until God has that level of quality, there is a threshold voltage in physics. That we have two concepts. I've given you one, which is called, you know, a critical mass. This second one is what you see in a fluorescent lamp. So in a fluorescent lamp, even when there's current going or there's voltage in it, Nigeria operates 240 volts. When, you know, the electricity is not operating properly and it drops to, say, like, 100, the fluorescent lamp will go out. It will not come on until there is a threshold voltage, which usually is about 180, 200. When it reaches that, the fluorescent light will come up. There has been current in it all along. It's just that it had not reached a particular level. You have power now. To say you don't have power is not true. You speak in tongues. You have power. But have you reached the threshold voltage? That's the issue. And when that power comes on, that will call the glory. People will now see it. That's where God is taking us to now. So, you know, I'm going to give you. We generate this power. The power that worketh in us. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know the purpose of the power that worketh in us? It is so that anything you ask or think, God will do it. Not only the one you ask, even the one you think. Give the Lord a clap offering. How many people want that kind of power? Not only the one I ask. That's why I was so blessed what happened today. I didn't tell Pastor Andrew to sing that song. I only thought it. But there was enough power to direct it to him. And he picked it. And the choir picked it and they sang it. Above what you ask or think. I did not even mouth the prayer. It was in my heart. Ah, I said, God, you are taking us to another level. Usually I have to call Pastor Andrew and fight him. I'm only joking. They're doing a great job. Give the choir a super clap. The children's church a super clap. The youth church a super clap. The Living Sama Drama Group a super clap. They've all done very well. But honestly, you know, I said, God, we're reaching a new level. where I can tell, say something in my heart, you will pick it and the same Holy Spirit will give it to them. That's what you call unity of the Spirit. This unity. You speak the same thing, the same mind, the same judgment. That is the pure material that is going to produce the atom bomb of the glory. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you what he told me. We're going to close. We generate that power. I didn't hear you. By sowing prayers, and we release it by reaping prayers. This is a great truth God gave me. We sow in Chronos time, but we reap in Kairos times. I'll repeat that. I'm going to say it again, folks. It's deep water. We sow in Chronos. And then we reap in Kairos. Chronos is chronological time. Let me be very specific. Let me use an example. That's the best way to understand things. Let me use an example. Simeon and Anna were sowing in Chronos for 60 years. Going to the temple, serving the temple in God day and night, in fasting and prayer, they were sowing. They were sowing. They were sowing. They were sowing. Then when the fullness of time came, Kairos, an angel was sent from heaven and came to a virgin called Mary in a city called Nazareth. Say, Hail Mary. Thou art highly favored. That's a Mary over there. I'm not Catholic. That's one Catholic and a second Catholic. This one is Mary. This one is Marianne. You know. But so I don't want to say the Hail Mary wrong. So I won't go there. Let me just stay with the Bible. Hail Mary. You're going to have a son. I pray, say, how's it going to be? I'm a virgin. He said, watch this. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. So that holy thing that will be born in you shall be called Son of God. But you know, that's all we read. You don't ask, where did the power of the Holy Ghost come from? Where did it come from? The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon the power. Where did it come from? The intercession of Anna and Simeon that was sowed in Chronos and was now manifest in Kairos. Mary had very little to do with it except to carry the baby. And Joseph. Carry him, look after him. But the power came through sowing prayers. So they sowed in tears. And then they reaped in joy on the day of the dedication of the baby. Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple. God, of all the hundreds of babies that are brought to the temple every, you know, to dedicate, because they after 40 days. So every day you always have new people coming to the temple. How was Simeon to know? How was Anna to know? Except by the Holy Ghost. The scripture actually says by the Spirit. It was a Kairos moment. Of reaping prayers that had been sown over Chronos moments. But I got good news for you. You don't have to wait for 40 years or 60 years. Do you know you can operate this sowing and reaping principle daily? You sow in the first fourth watch. You get up early in the morning. You pray 2 hours in the Spirit. Then you spend, because you're tithing your time. That's how you get the open heaven. Just like you tithe money and you have an open heaven, you tithe prayers and you have an open heaven. You get up early. Let's get to you yet. Let's start with Jesus. Jesus operated this principle every day. In the days of his flesh, he would offer up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. He would get up early in the morning. Then he would go and he would pray an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, go to the mountain. Then that's, he opened the heavens. Then he would now come down from the mountain or wherever he went after the prayers. Then a man who has a leper would come to him and said, "You heal me if you can, you know, if you will." He said, "I will." He's reaping. He has sown. Then he reaps. Observe, whenever you sow and reap, it's not only a financial principle, it's a general principle in God's word. Watch this. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. If you sow sheku sheku prayer, you will reap sheku sheku prayer. If you sow strong crying and tears, you will reap power prayer. What are you sowing? Jesus, you get up early in the morning. Yeah. "I will. Be thou clean." Instant. "Bring him unto me." "Since when was this?" "Oh, since he was a little child. I begged your disciples. They couldn't cast him out." He said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long will I suffer you? Bring the boy to me." He said, "Thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him." The Bible said, the boy fell down and then he got up and he was fine. Gave him to his dad. Why? Jesus didn't fast and pray. He said, "This can cannot come by fast and pray." He had been sowing fasting and prayer in Kronos. So when that Kairos moment came, there was power to deliver. Give a lot of clap offering. The principle is a simple principle. Get up early in the morning. Do 2 hours of solid prayer in the spirit. That's why Good Morning Jesus is very, very good for you to be able to use. Solid. Don't just go there and mouth something, Mickey Mouse. Make sure you are actually praying. Open your heavens. Then after that, you know, you spend, you know, about 30 minutes. You read your Bible. You make some general, confession of the word. Then throughout the day, of course, you do your, you know, life and love commandment every 6 hours. And then you frequent tongues. You know what's going to happen? Because you've opened the heavens and you've sown. When you need things to be done, you quick prayer, you get it done. Thoughts, you get it done. That's the secret. I'm going to close with the familiar story of Jesus and the resurrection of Lazarus, since today is Easter Sunday. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost gave me all of this, sowed, and I put it in, you know, asterisks, for 2 days after hearing that Lazarus was sick. You see, we often just think that he just went there. They came, they said, "Your friend Lazarus, whom that you say is sick." The Bible said he stayed where he was for 2 days. What was he doing? He's sowing. He's opening the heavens. So he prays. During the 2 days he prayed, Lazarus dies. Jesus knew he was dead. How did he know? He picked it in the spirit when he was praying. But he declares, koshele prayer. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. He declares to his disciples, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of Man be glorified thereby." Very good. Stand up. Let's go. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awaken him." How can a man talk like that? He was a man that had opened the heavens. A man, watch this, a man in whom the power of God was working to do exceedingly abundantly above what he could ask or think. That's the kind of man. And you know what? That's the kind of man you and I are. It's available to us. The problem is that they haven't believed it, we have not been taught it, and we don't know how to tap into it, which is what I'm telling you now. They said, if he sleepeth, he do well. He said, no, Lazarus is dead. Come on, let's go. Stop all your nonsense. Just like Beko Yewano Lenin. You know, we're so similar to the disciples in so many ways, you know. So they get there, you know, and Mary begins to cry and, you know, carry on. And Martha, And everything, oh Lord, if you had been, they were blaming him. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, I wish you had come. They didn't say it, but that's on their hearts. Yeah, I wish you had come earlier. You say you love him, and just leave him, the man died. If you had come earlier now, you'd have been prayed for him, you'd have been healed. They had watched this. They had faith for healing, but they didn't have faith for raising the dead. There should be no limit to your faith. I just gave you the scripture. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. So Mary, you know, Mary had a little bit more because she used to listen to the word. It's Martha who used to run all over the whole place. So she had a little bit more faith. She said, yeah, Lord, and I know that even now, if you ask the Lord, he will do anything you ask him for. Then Jesus said, your brother will rise again. I know. We all know the Bible now. That on the last day, you know, there's going to be a resurrection. It's going to rise there. Then Jesus makes one of the greatest statements in the scriptures. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Watch this before his resurrection. What will give a man that kind of boldness, that kind of authority? He has been sowing and reaping. You know why Jesus could say that? He had raised Jairus' daughter. He had raised the son of the widow of Nain and others that are not recorded over a 3-year period. This is his last week on earth. So he could speak with confidence. I am not going to be. You don't have to wait until the last day. Now! Everybody scream now. I'm going to tell you, say, I know your faith may not carry it, but carry it. Just follow me. Say now!
We are
the resurrection and the life. Give the Lord a clap of praise. You see, not in ourselves, but in him. He is the resurrection and life, but I am a branch of the resurrection and the life. So the same resurrection and the life that is in the vine is the same resurrection that is in the branch. So I am too the resurrection and the life. Amen. If you can receive it too. I'm taking you to deep waters. Amen. Hang on to me so you won't drown. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh, yes. So he tells her, I am. He hadn't been resurrected. But he had the life and the power in him. And it had been, he had sown and reaped. He had sown and reaped. He had sown and reaped. Over the 3-year period, he knew God would never disappoint him. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Those words are still ringing through the corridors of time till today. Dearly beloved Christian brother and sister, what believest thou? Do you only believe in a resurrection that is going to take place when Jesus comes at the rapture? Or do you believe that now? Resurrection, life, and power is available to you and I according to the power that is working in us, by which he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. What do you believe? I believe it. If believest thou this, take me. Where have you laid him? Say, oh Lord. The Bible says, on his way there, man's praying, he groans in the spirit twice. Everybody say, pray without ceasing. See, when you're walking in this realm of the spirit, you stay connected. Jesus wasn't playing games. He knew what he was going to do. When he gets to the graveside, he makes a statement that makes everybody nervous. Even his closest disciples, even those that loved him like Mary and Martha, roll away the stone. They said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. I like the reply. Said I not unto thee, that if thou should believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. And I say to this generation, if thou shalt believe, you will see the glory of God in our generation. Roll the stone away. And the stone was rolled away. And one of the greatest statements in the New Testament, the Bible says, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I love the book of John. He says, and he that was dead. Give the Lord a clap of it. And he that was dead came forth. Brethren, you need to have, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the video. I want to see the expression on the face of Mary, Martha, John, Peter. They had seen many miracles over the last 3 years, but nothing like this. The man is bandaged, so he can't walk. I was sharing this yesterday. I was preaching at a service of songs, you know, and I said it was a combination of many miracles. The first one was to recall Lazarus' spirit from Abraham. There was no heaven then. Jesus hadn't yet died. Lazarus was one of the guys who went to heaven fastest. He died, you know, and then Jesus came and, you know, preached to principalities and powers, and later on he went to heaven. The guy, you know, he went to Abraham's bosom. He went both to Abraham and went to heaven. Good for Lazarus. Are you listening to me? The spirit was recalled from Abraham's bosom. Watch this. After 4 days. Usually the recall takes place within 24 hours. But the resurrection of the life was talking. He that had authority was talking. He that had power to do exceedingly above what he asked or think was talking. Lazarus, come forth. So that solitary spirit was taken from Abraham's bosom and put in back into the physical body. But watch this. The physical body was sick. And it was a sickness that killed it. That made him die in the first place. So miracle number two. The sickness had to be healed. So not only did he enter the physical body, according exceedingly abundantly. I want you to get the picture, folks. I can ask or think. The power was not just to bring his spirit back. He now healed him of what made him die. Miracle number three. Power and strength was given to him to be able to stand up without assistance. Try it. Go and lie down and let them put cloth around you and try and get up. It took a certain amount of power. He had to jump. He had to, you know, because in those days they didn't bury down. They used to bury across. So they would lie you down. So Lazarus had to roll. He had to roll and jump up from the bed, from the slab, and get on his feet. No assistance. Jesus didn't say, Peter and John, quickly go inside the tomb. You know, and go and carry him. And bring him. He's alive now. He could have said that. But to show that he's the resurrection and the life. The man gets enough strength to get on his feet. And then he obeys. He said, come forth. That's the instruction. So he has to come forth. To come forth, he has to hop. He hopped out. I can imagine the look of incredulity. Not only on the disciples, but all, there were a lot of people there. Maybe 50, maybe 100. Who came there, that they had come to mourn with Mary and Martha. So when they were going to the grave, they followed her. They didn't know that Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. It was only the inner circle that, you know, Jesus had told. They just followed. So I can imagine what was on their faces. And he that was dead came forth. And when Jesus saw him hop out, he had obeyed the instruction. Lazarus, come forth. He now said, loose him and let him go. A clap offering for the Lord. Stand to your feet. We close the message. I got a word for you. God is going to loose you and let you go. Many of us are covered with the bandage of unbelief. You see, you don't hear things like this every day. People don't believe. But the scripture says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, conditionally, according to the power that worketh in us. So I'm going to concentrate now on the power that's at work in me. I'm going to sow and I'm going to reap. It's not only financial principle. It's spiritual principle. Prayer principle. I sow, I reap 100-fold. I take the 100, I sow it back, I reap another 100-fold. You know what's going to happen? After some time, the amount of power prayer that is available to me becomes without measure. Let's talk to God. That's your assignment this Easter. From this Easter on, purify that vessel. Love. So that you can be a pure material for the spiritual atom bomb. Get to that threshold voltage by sowing and reaping. So don't play around in the morning. Pray! Then you reap during the day. Need this, God will do it. Need this, God will do it. Have mercy, God will do it. Then you get more confidence. Next day, now you sow again. You reap. You sow again. Then you reap. You know what's going to happen? The thing is going to keep multiplying. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. The numerical and the exponential growth together will bring about a breakthrough into the glory and is right in front of us. That's why the revelation becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Let's talk to God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
come!
Come and make
your presence known.
Reveal
the glory of the risen Lord. Oh, sing it! Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
come!
Come and make your presence known.
The glory of the risen Lord.
Let the way of your glory cover us.
Let the life of your river flow.
Let the way,
let the way of your glory, let the way of your glory fall.
Oh, sing it, Spirit of the Living Lord, Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
please come and make your presence known.
Your presence known.
Reveal.
Glory of the risen Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Let's come and make your presence known.
Let's come and make your presence known.
Reveal
the glory of the risen Lord.
The way,
oh, glory to God.
Let the truth kingdom reign in us.
Oh.
Let the weight of your glory.
Oh, yes.
Let the weight of your glory fall.
Let the weight of your glory cover us.
Let the weight of your glory cover us.
Let the life,
the life of your river, let it flow.
Let the truth,
the truth of your kingdom, let it rain.
Rain. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. I want you to consecrate. We're going to pray. But I want in your heart now, talk to God. Lord, I'm going to be part of that critical mass. Join that company of people who have taken prayer very seriously. Make prayer a business. Who in the days of his flesh, that's the pattern we're following, offered up prayer and support with strong crying. The man sowed for 30 years and then he reaped for 3. Koselebrige. 3! 3 years that history does not have the books to be able to record. Do the same. Yours is not going to take 30 years because he was only one person. But we are many now. So you can join us together, both, you know, arithmetically as well as exponentially. We're very close now. Raise that hand. In the year of our Lord 1945, the Americans were doing an experiment for the atom bomb. Enrico Fermi, Italian but American, Oppenheimer, and some other guys. President Roosevelt gave them money. And they went to a New Mexico desert. They did a lot of experiments. They made mistakes like we. God said, I should share it with you. They tried this. Then they did something. Then they got a small result inside the lab. They were able to sustain the chain reaction for a short while. Then they shut it down. Then they now built a prototype atom bomb and took it to the New Mexico desert. They weren't sure it was going to work or not. They stayed away. They put on dark shades because of the blast of the explosion. And they said, let's try. They released it from a height. Same height you release from an aerobic, you know, they suspended it and they took the chain off and the thing came crashing down. The whole night sky became like afternoon. They said, oh, so it is true. It can be done. Folks, I'm not giving you cunningly devised fables. We're very close to it now. Press in. Talk to God. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this season of the resurrection that we celebrate today, Easter Sunday, of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that that same resurrection power is available to us today according to your word, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to your power that is at work in us individually and collectively. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive life and power. Lord, I make myself available to be one of those that will be used by you. to generate this power, this spirit without measure, by walking in love and in unity with my brethren, so that we will be gathered together in the name of Christ, not only legally, but in his character, in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. So that when anything we touch, anything we agree on, when our prayers in the spirit are joined together, they will generate and they will release the power of the spirit without measure for all the earth to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shekiko fredeles. Lo priyikata. Mercy, Father. Salaprika tuloma. Lord Jesus, akurtuloma tu fredelek. Lord Holy Ghost, apriki tulomangarsk. We thank you for your blood, lapriki tu frini. We thank you for your life, shalaka kakufrenek. We thank you for your power. Nehia, rakatuloma shiki tu frininga. In our souls, lapriki tu frinesk. In our bodies, rip tuloma tu frinesk. In our circumstances, lapriketoloma taska fredesk. In our regional heavenlies, lipreto fredesk. Non prigi, lombreto fresca, lapreto fresche, no fresk. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, just touch your body, raise your hand. If you're at home, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. Father, for those who need healing, the Bible says you sent your word and healed them, and you delivered them from their destructions. When Jesus prepares it, the power of the Lord was present to heal. I release that power to heal now into the physical bodies of those who are connecting to me by faith, by stretching forth their hands in Jesus' name. I release the power of deliverance. I come against the spirit of oppression, the spirit of depression. I release and impart and enforce the spirit of soundness of mind in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. What an Easter! Glory be to God. I want to say one last thing. You know, in the last like month, few weeks, Satan has been so rattled because of what's come. My wife and I, he's thrown everything, including the kitchen sink. All kinds of. And God told me, he said, it's because you are so close. We are so close. I want more of you. Join us. Stop playing church. Stop playing church. When you come for good morning, Jesus, fire. Yes, sir. After good morning, Jesus, fire. Yes, let your eyes be like a flame of fire. You know where you're going. Yes, sir. The glory is here. God just needs enough of us to put that thing together. You will be like Mary, Martha, John, and Peter when Lazarus stepped out of the tomb. What? Our God is a good God. The glory is just around the corner. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation. Even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you walk in resurrection life and power. So you have no bones broken in Jesus' name. We are going to, everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Easter. We're going to.